Let's head to Washington, D.C. Congressman Bill Flores joins us this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Howdy, Scott. Great to be on Infomaniacs. I'm doing well.
Well, so one day you're on NPR's Morning Edition. The next day you're with us, huh?
Well, I'd rather be on Infomaniacs any day of the week.
Well, I know that one of the things that they talked to you about was the Michael Flynn situation. So that's been all the buzz on the Washington show. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Sure. Well, I mean, let me say at the outset that I'm glad that he is no longer part of the Trump administration. He's been a rogue. Let's say this. We have to applaud him for his military service and his service to our country. But his post-military career has been somewhat sketchy. He was a little bit of a rogue actor when he was working with the Obama administration and that got him fired. It appears that the allegations regarding him talking to the Russians before the inauguration, before he even had an official position, are true. And now, I don't know if that violates the Logan Act. That's going to be up to the Justice Department to determine. But I can tell you this, where he really ran afoul of me and many of us in Congress are in two areas. One is, that he lied to the Vice President of the United States and really embarrassed not only Vice President Pence but the entire administration. And then number two, to even intimate to the Russians that we would reduce our sanctions on Russia is awful. I mean, the Russians, there's a new series coming out now, what the Russians did in Aleppo in terms of killing civilians indiscriminately. I mean, they invaded Crimea. They are fighting in Ukraine. They took over Georgia. They're constantly trying to encroach on the Baltic states. They're trying to destroy NATO. They are not good actors. And so for anybody to think that we would reduce our sanctions, I think, is not very smart.
Well,
and so I'm glad he's gone.
The next step, though, is that's Russia. That brings Russia back up. That brings up the meddling in our presidential election again, and the Democrats are calling for the formation of a blue-ribbon panel to look into that. Do you see that happening?
Probably not. If you look at the things that are on the minds of Americans today, they want the tax code fixed. They want to have a secure southern border. They want to see us be safe from terrorism, either here or around the world. They want Obamacare repealed and replaced. They'd like to see a robust robust job market. And so I think we're wasting our time and not achieving the things that the American people want by spending any resources trying to go after this whole Russian thing. Look, I've read the classified report that was produced in the waning days of the Obama administration regarding the Russians hacking the DNC's servers and so forth. And I can't talk about the contents of the report, I can tell you the report was politicized. It's sort of the last gasp by the Obama administration. So we do know the Russians did this, but they didn't have an outcome on the election. So I'm not sure that there's much to be. I don't think the American people are going to feel like they're better off to know more of the details on that at this point.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us from Washington. Last week when we talked, you outlined a conversation that you'd had with Congressman Brady, Chairman of House Ways and Means, and his staff about the border adjustment tax, and we talked about how the wording probably needs to change. Yesterday, the Speaker had to go over to the Senate and talk to them to try to save this 20% plan that's in the House. And right now the Senate does not seem to like the idea very much. What does that say to you?
Well, let me say this. The provision of the proposed tax code, or the outline for a proposed tax code, is awesome. It would be a huge kickstart for companies that manufacture locally, for those that have services that we export worldwide. It would give America the most awesome, most competitive tax code in the entire world. And if you couple that with regulatory relief and healthcare reform, there would be nobody that could touch us from an economic opportunity standpoint. The challenge is that the initial labeling of this provision of the proposed code is called border adjustment. Well, the next thing you know, people start talking about it in terms of border tax, which it's not. And then the next thing, that sort of leads people to think, well, that's a tariff. And then you start talking about trade wars and people jacking up tariffs on either side of a border. It's none of those. It's basically an American competitiveness provision. And so I have proposed to Chairman Brady, as to all of us as House members, that we find a new way to talk about this, because it doesn't have a darn thing to do with the border, and that's what's killing it right now. And so that's allowed K Street and the lobby community to start pulling their guns out and start challenging us on this and saying, well, you know, it'd put us out of business, or it'd be anti-competitive, or it would hurt us because we import all our stuff. Well, you know, I wasn't the one that made the decision for the company to go start importing all their crap from China. And so I think one of the ways to relabel this this provision, this is American jobs versus Chinese crap provision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we've got to start talking about it in those stark terms. Now, what we will do is, if we can move forward with this, is we'll have a transition. So if you have somebody that imports all their stuff from China, they'll have a time so they can reorient their supply chains and start buying things from American companies. And that way they're not hurt. The other thing is, the macroeconomic studies we've looked at have shown that the dollar will appreciate about 20% under our tax program, which really neutralizes the impact of the tax on the tax attributes of imported goods. So at the end of the day, everybody's neutral at worst.
Well, yesterday on the Bill O'Reilly Show, Mark Cuban said that the president's not keeping his promise on bringing new jobs to America.
I don't know what planet Mark Cuban's been on, but I can tell you what, when you walk down Main Street in any town in District 17, there's a sense of optimism among our Texas business women and men that's really optimistic. I mean, they feel good. They know that they don't have this cloud of uncertainty hanging over them, and that was, you know, typical of the Obama administration. They feel good about where they're going, and this is all evidenced by one of the big leading indicators, and that's the stock market. People feel good about the way they're going. Now, you know, the Trump administration keeps stubbing its toe on some things, which hurts their marketability, if you will, or their credibility. But overall, Americans are just a lot more optimistic than they were in all the towns I go through. So for Cubans to say this, I just think was pretty silly.
Well, finally, yes, last week in the Eagle, they talked about the difficulty that some constituents are having getting in touch with their representatives, and I think you were interviewed by the Dallas Morning News about that as well. Kind of give us some background on that, and tell folks how they can be in touch with you.
Well, after the election of Donald Trump, the left stood up a function called Indivisible, and it's meant to mirror what the Tea Party movement. There are big differences, though. The Tea Party movement was a grassroots, locally led operations that just sort of sprung up. Indivisible is more coordinated. It has ties to congressional offices through staffers that used to work on Capitol Hill. It also has some leftist money behind it, and so they put out a guide called the Indivisible Guide to basically disrupt the Trump agenda. And so they have been flooding all most GOP congressional offices, including in our area, Central Cruz, Central Corning, and me, with phone calls and with emails and with social media posts and so forth. One of the big problems with this is, to the extent our staff is tied up in our local district office, taking 15 calls from the same person where that person is saying the same thing each time, it's hurting our ability to help VA, to help veterans with their VA claims, to help people that have, where the IRS has fouled up their tax refund, or to help somebody that needs an emergency passport to go overseas because of a family emergency. It's really fouled that up. And a lot of the calls we get are from outside the district. So our team has been trying to ferret out, okay, this is a real constituent, this dot. But, you know, we get somebody in from a Chicago area code, there's a landline, we know that's not a constituent.
Okay.
It's just an effort to disrupt the ability of us to do our job for our constituents in the Brazos Valley.
So from an efficiency standpoint, what's the best way for them to be in touch with your office?
Really, the best way is there's a contact form on our website at florist.house.gov. The best thing is to go to that contact form and fill it out. Because if people post it, and we've got a handful of people that post the same thing over and over again on our social media, and so that unfortunately is become less useful because it's become just noisy. And so it's better to go to make one contact with that web form, and then we'll process that. But multiple calls, just trying to say the same thing from the same person 15 times. It is not going to be helpful. I mean, it'd be like me calling you 15 times and saying the same thing. After a while, you're going to tune it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so these folks are going to understand what they're doing is ultimately disrupting our ability to help our constituents, and it's not advancing their cause whatsoever.
Well, hopefully we've given folks a way to get in touch with you that'll be more efficient for you and your staff as well.